can hold my beer as good as any man. And I'll dance and sing as long as I can.
Welcome to Rhythm and Brews, the monthly podcast where Luke and Andrew craftily couple beer and music.
Is that because they're craft beers and we're coupling?
Yep.
Yeah, very good.
It was thought with a lot of time and effort put into it.
Literally 10 seconds ago.
Literally as we were recording.
So I need to apologise straight off the bat because I think I'm still getting over a cold.
Yeah, you're just going to give me COVID by being really close to me.
It's definitely not COVID.
Okay.
It might be...
You say that.
...bubonic plague, but it's definitely not COVID.
You are looking quite pustule-y at the moment.
Bubos on my arms.
We're up to episode...
We are...
8 of season 3.
Or, in real money, number 71.
71. 71. We're getting old now. We're getting into our end-of-life period.
If this was Logantron, we would have been killed off 30 episodes ago.
If this was a Tory state, we would have been killed off about 30 episodes.
Imagine that's what we should be measuring our episodes in, how many prime ministers we've lived with as a podcast.
Yeah, I don't think people will properly appreciate this in like 20 years' time when we say that we've been through 25 prime ministers. But it's just me and you and Andrew tonight, isn't it? We've got no one waiting off in the wings.
I know, which is good because it means don't feel as though we have to hold back. Not that we ever hold back, but...
Yeah, it also means that the entire thing is going to be a nice tight 35 minutes.
Absolutely. We've got about 10 beers to smash back in 30 minutes.
Especially because I think you got overexcited with the fact that it was just us. And so
just
the...
Just went to town.
The selection of pre-show beers that you just presented me was about 15 long.
Well, I mean, okay.
Different styles.
We should say from the outset, it's a dedicated episode to sour beers.
Yeah.
But then that just throws up lots of options. And so we're only going to do 4 pairings, but there are lots of other different beers that are worth talking about, drinking, and going, bleh.
Yeah, this is our sourpuss episode, yeah. our bitter bitch episode, our...
But I should say, I mean, okay, I'm putting faces, but we both enjoy sour beers.
Oh, yeah, we both do. We definitely do. So, I mean, it was exactly what you were saying around... It was actually quite hard to narrow down even the styles that I was interested in doing. And, I mean, listeners will be very surprised that I didn't choose either a kettle or pastry sour.
No, very good. We have both of them in the wings.
We do have them in the wings. They're you know, just the nice 15% starter beers. But actually, what are we doing as a starter beer at the moment?
The starter beer. So this is... Where's the can gone? It's Northern Monk. It's their part of their
old flax store projects. Yeah. I don't know if isn't the collab, is it?
No, the old flax store is one of the bars, the original bars, I think, in Leeds.
So yeah, so this is it's OFS 86.
So it's 86 out of in this series.
Yeah,
but this is I think they've got 3 or 4 Turkish themed beers, and this is their Turkish Delight Sour,
which is...
It's weird.
It's actually, I think it's quite nice. It's really subtle though. It's got, you can definitely get like the rose. I'm surprised it doesn't have rose water in it because it is quite a strong rose.
On the taste it is. I don't get it on the smell.
No, it's on the, I think if they put rose water in it, it'd be super overpowering. That's what Bake Off's taught me anyway.
And I mean, it's not that sour, if I'm being honest.
Although I do like the homage to, you know, the great Turkish beer culture, having been in Istanbul a few weeks ago.
Oh, right, yeah.
And going to the one craft beer bar in the entire city.
Really?
And having a really nice New England IPA and then discovering it was an Effie's beer.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I have to say, Istanbul doesn't... There seemed to be one craft brewery that was like right on the outskirts of town, and I'm pretty sure it was a front for something. But it was, it's not really the peak craft beer place that you'd expect. But then again, that was Istanbul. I don't know. There might be a fucking craft beer mecca in the middle of Turkey.
I doubt it. If it's not in Istanbul.
We all know that Erdogan's really into his craft beer.
He is.
And, flagrantly violating human rights as well.
Yeah. So, the two go together.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's what we should be pairing. which fascist dictator can we pair with this beer?
Which fascist would you pair this with, Erdogan? I think it's maybe a bit too floral for him.
Yeah.
So this has more of a, I don't know, Bolsonaro vibe to it.
There's the man, South American Trump.
Yeah. Who's been kicked out this week. You know, because let's talk about politics.
He still hasn't admitted it.
No, of course not. Of course not. Why would he? It's like, I'm pretty sure Erdogan got kicked out 3 years ago, but nobody's told him. But I'm pretty sure Trump believes that he's still president.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
If you listen to the stuff he was spouting last night.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's okay, because we're definitely living in a time where everything is just fucking hunky-dory right now, right?
Yeah, he's going to be back on Twitter soon, isn't he?
I know. Trump. Well, you know, because our lovely overlord Elon Musk has just taken the reins and fired 75% of the people today. I mean, I don't know why we're getting into news at this point.
I don't know. Let's not drink. Even beer news.
Let's drink. Who wants beer news right now, Andrew? The world is on fire.
Back to the beer. Turkish Delight Sour from Northern Monk.
It's decent.
It's not that sour.
It's not that sour at all. Yeah, what kind of sour would you say this is? I don't know. This is kind of like somewhere between a really, really light kettle and Berliner Weiss.
I thought it was like, either Berliner Weiss or a Goes. Because I think it's actually tastes a bit salty, even though the recipe doesn't say it's got salt in it.
No, it's just apparently got rose petals.
Yeah, interesting.
But anyway, yeah, so tonight, because I don't think we've done... I think we might have done a sour dedicated episode way back at the beginning of season one, the longest season ever known. But it was definitely when I think we had five listeners, so...
And now we've got six.
Yeah.
It felt like doing it again.
Yeah, we thought we'd just pucker up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Have you actually deliberately tried to seek out something massively, massively sour?
No. Because I was trying to seek out interesting sour. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, do spoiler alerts for people 20 minutes in the future. But I think I was trying to push boundaries. But in saying that, one of mine, the style, even though it doesn't actually really adhere to the style is something that we've actually already done on the podcast before because we're fucking trailblazers. So,
yeah, I know, man.
How did you choose your beers tonight, Andrew?
I deliberately wanted to try and do a range of sour styles and not just go to the local beer shop and pull off four pastry sours.
Yeah, let's just get all the Vault City. I mean,
yeah,
to be fair,
that's what I didn't want to do.
I still fucking love, like, I think I went a bit sour mad when I bought these because I think we both bought all of ours from Trembling Madness.
Yeah.
And yeah, went just bought every single good looking sour that was in there. Yeah. And so many good pastry sours at the moment. So many good like kettle sours. Yeah, I think that there's like really interesting. And actually, I got my Bruiser box this week.
Oh, I saw your post. Yeah.
Yeah, interestingly, it was full of sours.
Was it Playbeer?
Yeah. I've never heard of them.
No.
Yeah. So I haven't tried any yet, but I'm really looking forward to trying them. Their branding is just lush. But I mean,
it's the 70s.
Listen to some of the. Oh, yeah, totally. Double cotton candy sour, yeah. Like strawberry and starfruit daiquiri sour. Fucking, it sounds great. Mango, banana, and coconut lassie sour.
Are these actual beers?
Raspberry and guava fizzy dummy sour. Like, it's just fucking insane. But I don't know. I am quite enjoying there seems to be a tiny bit of a sour renaissance again, which is good.
But it is quite it's a weird one, isn't it? Because I think it's one of the styles you would put in front of someone and go, now you say you don't like beer, just try this.
Yeah, I'm just going to fully fucking assault your taste buds now. Yeah, it is. I think it's a good entry level for some people, right?
Oh.
If people like Tangfastics, then give them a salty kiss.
You've got the ones that are seriously fruity and potentially quite sweet, but then you've got the ones that are like wine, vinous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that are close to having a wine.
Yeah, like, yeah, and a lot of the wild firms as well, yeah, which basically is just super complex. And yeah, a lot of those are quite vinous as well.
Yeah.
But because I'm curious, actually. Let's start with. But I mean, wait. Should we introduce what we do here?
Oh God, yeah, we've not done the intro.
You didn't do the fucking spiel, Andrew.
Okay,
go for it.
Let's do this. So this is the podcast where we match songs to beers or beers to songs. No, songs to beers. That's what we do. That's the way around. Songs to beers. With the theory being that if you pick the right song, you can enhance or improve the flavour of that beer.
Yep.
On a neurological level, it's a tonal system where low tones enhance the sense of bitterness, high tones enhance the taste of sweetness, spiky, discordant tones enhance sourness. So I'm assuming that's what we've gone for in every single song we've got tonight.
Yeah.
Spiky, discordancy, electronica. I know I have.
No, it's just, what are you talking about? It's just Los Campesinos the entire way through. It's great. Through. Yeah.
So that's the tonal qualities. You get those tones, you enhance those qualities in flavour. But then experientially, can you in some way capture the character or the what you think is typified by that beer? Now, that could be an experience you've had or just some vague concept you want to come out of nowhere about some other aspect of the beer. Put the two together. Voila. You have a perfect song for a perfect beer.
So look forward to a lot of free jazz tonight.
Oh, God, you know what? I nearly picked some free jazz.
But I suppose before we get into the sours properly, do you have any? Because I mentioned that I've gone to Istanbul and it was a shit beer experience.
Yeah, look, I've got lots of things written down. Look, I'm saying we went to BrewCon, the World Championship of Beer Brewing, Home Brewing, 2022 version. Came away with absolutely no medals this time.
You're disappointing me, Andrew.
Yeah.
Especially after winning the fucking medals at winning the IPA medal at GBBF.
I was absolutely gutted. But I will say,
is it because your beers were shit though?
One of them definitely was.
Yeah.
One of them definitely was. But Milky Milky was in the mix again.
Oh, did it score well?
It did score well, but still didn't get there.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a great beer.
Great milk stout. But
is it still 3.5%?
It varies. I think it's pushing 5.
Ooh, that's not bad.
I think that's not my plan.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, so it's not bad. We can get a bottle later. So that was a good day. Lots of good talks, including Andy Parker from Elusive.
Talking
about
nice.
Water. That was very good. And then giving everyone samples of water to taste. But he brought along 4 or 5 specially treated water samples, shared them around. Said,
did he though?
He did.
Could you actually tell the difference?
I personally couldn't. Everyone else nodded. No, that's a lie. I mean, I could taste it a bit, but I think more people with better palates than me were getting more out of it. Mr. Johnny Garrett, our friend, was there.
Our friend, our colleague.
Flogging his wares.
Of course he fucking wants it.
But yeah, it was good to see him and good to see some of the other brewers. Joe Llewellyn-Jones was there, who I'm going to say we then, a few weeks later, went along and brewed at Next Stamper.
Yeah.
A nice session NIPA, session IPA. Look out for it in a couple of weeks' time.
Does it have your name on it?
Yeah, my name, I've changed it to Little Mizzle.
Oh, okay,
hence
good.
The beer is called Little Mizzle.
Yeah, that makes sense. It suits you as well.
Is it still a phrase where the kids talk about the shizzle?
I think that was in 2002, Andrew, which is 20 years ago.
Okay, because I was thinking of doing a post when we were brewing about mizzle and shizzle. And I thought, does that date me?
Isn't mizzle... Isn't mizzle like a type thing. Of rain? Yeah. It's somewhere between a mist and a drizzle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Faux show shizzle.
Faux show. Fucking hell. Just, wow.
So there was that. And we were both at a Dark Knight.
We were.
Event at Beer Shop in Hitchin.
We were, which I had a sore head the next day.
Yeah, because there were 10... Imperial stouts on tap.
There's some phenomenal Imperial stouts as well. So what, it was the likes of Emperor.
Yeah, because Damien from Emperor's was there, which was really cool to see him and chat to him.
I had the Cuvée.
Oh yeah, who was that? Was that the, it wasn't Alvin, it was Distreuse.
Yeah, it was Distreuse Cuvée.
Cuvée Delphine.
That was the one.
Yeah.
Really bad. My memory is fucking awful.
And there was the brewery up there. There was a Polish brewery that I can't now. Pinter Barrel Project was on the tap.
Yep.
But
nothing was, I think, under 11%.
No, and the biggest was about 16, I think.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they were doing 100ml pours. I think I only checked in about 2 beers.
I do remember the Bang the Elephant, Elephant and Emperor's collab. The Hobie Wan Kenobi, which is a hobnob.
Hobie Wan Kenobi, isn't it? So it's Wan Kenobi.
Kenobi, if it's a fucking terrible name. But yeah, it was a hobnob imperial barrel aged rum on rum barrel like stout. That. It was just nuts.
Most of the stouts seem to have a combination of either tonka or coconut or pecan or coffee.
Oh, yeah. Lots of Madagascan vanilla as well. Yeah,
vanilla going on.
Although there was one I remember that just tasted like tonka. Oh, no, it wasn't that one. It was Blue Screen of Death. That wasn't there. That was afterwards. That never was afterwards. Mind.
So that was a good night, though.
It was good. It was a lot of fun.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah, it was absolutely rammed. It was really nice, actually, to see a lot of people who had travelled into the sweet little beer shop. They'd ran out of glasses. It was good.
Well, that's because everyone was like, I'll take four beers. Yeah,
exactly.
Some people got through all 10 that night. I didn't. So sour beers.
Sour beers. So what's your opinion of...
sour beers?
Well, no, like pastries. So I'm curious, what's your opinion of Vault City at the moment?
I like them. I think I like what they're doing. I like the fact they're putting stuff out there. You go, that's not a beer. Oh, maybe it is a beer. Let me try it anyway. And so absolutely, for some people, they'll go, no. And other people, it's just, I think what it is it gives that added, that excitement that I think the beer scene, if you're going to call it a scene, the beer world has. You know, you look at it and go, oh, well, that's not a blonde ale, is it?
But it is, like, yeah, it's funny because it's like, I feel like that there is a little bit of hate for them in the same way that there was a few years ago for people who are doing super adjuncty IPAs.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's particularly well placed because I think that they do some phenomenal beers.
They do, but is it phenomenal because you think, bloody hell, how did you do that? Or why did you do that?
I think a lot of it is like, because, I mean, and maybe they just use ridiculous flavors and stuff in terms of like flavorings and whatnot. But I think that it's like they're pushing the boundaries of what is classed as a beer. But they're doing everything tastes good. Like the majority of what I've had from them, not everything. I think the one miss that I've had was the cloudy lemonade, which just didn't taste enough like cloudy lemonade, which is, you know, saying something because that's what I expected. Whereas it's like, you know, you have a lot of, you know, we're currently in fucking pumpkin beer season where I don't think I've still had a beer that tastes like anything other than that it looked at a pumpkin once.
Well, I've got a can of Carvin yams in the fridge.
Yeah, in saying that, I did have pumpkin spice latte beer from Fierce Beer at the weekend. And it was that was quite pumpkin-y. That was good. That tasted like pumpkin spice.
Was it pumpkin spice, or was it basically just...
It tasted like pumpkin spice. Yeah. It tasted like a pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks, which is what you'd expect.
But it was a pale ale, wasn't it, I think?
It was an amber ale.
Amber, okay, yeah. Of course, all the difference.
But anyway, shall we get on to the first beer?
Well, I was going to say, so look, these were some of the beer styles we could have gone for. Berliner Weiss, we've got one of them coming up.
Yep.
Goes.
We kind of have one of those.
Do we? Okay.
I'm surprised you don't.
Lichtenhainer. We don't have any Lichtenhainer.
Why didn't you pick a Lichtenhainer?
I've got a 750 bottle of Lichtenhainer.
Of course you fucking do.
We could open that.
Yeah.
Lambics and Gerses, Flanders Red Ales and Ubruins, Wild Fermented Beers.
Yeah, which is a very, very wide class of beer.
Yeah, but it tends to be more anything outside of Belgium that's still brewed like a Lambic or a Gers. Yeah. It's classified as a wild. And then Kettle Sours.
And kettle sours. So a pastry sour is technically classed as kettle sours.
I guess it probably
a lot of the time
is.
They probably are because they probably are kettle soured.
Yeah, they're not going to be made. They're not going to be barreled and soured that way.
You forgot the most important category, though.
Which one's that?
Is infected beers.
Infected beers.
Yeah, which I think should be its own category.
Well, deliberately infected.
Yeah.
Inoculated.
No. Just accidentally infected. But fuck it, we'll release it anyway and give it a different name.
Are you naming names?
Yeah.
Are you going to pick a brewery that did that?
No, us. No. And I mean, how would you class something like a sour IPA in there as well?
Oh, cool. I suppose. I bet that's got
to
be
its own style.
Well, okay. Well, one thing I've got down here to talk about is Philly sours.
Yeah.
Where the yeast is doing the souring.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know how they make a sour IPA, whether they just throw some lactobacillus in when they're fermenting. Because when I've brewed a sour before, we brewed one, and all we did was put Saccharomyces and some lactobacillus in the fermenter. So well, nothing more complicated than that, just threw in two strains.
But usually that is, I mean, apart from the Lambics, the Gerses, the basically all of the what you'd class as a wild fermented beer.
Yeah.
All the rest of them are usually just chucking in a yeast strain that has
Or bacteria.
Yeah. I mean that's how you make a Berliner Weiss, that's how you make a Ghost, that's how you make a kettle, like it is that's how you make a Lichtenhainer, I'm guessing.
I would guess so.
It's just with smoked malt, and it's the same. So I'm guessing it's the same if you were thinking of a sour IPA or a sour porter or a sour stout.
Yeah.
And it'd just be adding the souring agent into what you'd normally
brew. I guess so. Other than, I suppose you might get some, especially dark beers, that are soured by being in a barrel. So you might get a stout
that's taken
on the sour characteristic being barrel aged.
Yeah.
Potentially.
But generally speaking, when we're talking about sours, it's usually, it's a combination of either because it's taking on the characteristics of what's around it through wild fermentation or barrel aging, or it's using a particular bacteria or a yeast strain that does the souring. Because it is a massively wide range as well. Like, I think it's probably one of the widest ranges as a sort of general style within beer. In terms of like you talk about sour beers, but you know, it's like IPAs. It's still even though you've got a range there, it's still a relatively narrow field of taste
for a sour.
No, for like an IPA or a stout or a...
Oh, okay, fair enough.
And I think sour is the one where it's like, it can go... Because, you know, even Saisons are technically classed as a sour, right?
Well, depends. I mean, some of them do sour, but I think they're not necessarily... It wouldn't be a given for that style that a Saison is sour.
I'd probably categorise them in with a sour.
So there'll be
like a Gers, which isn't particularly sour.
It will be a Gers will be sour. We'll get
some
a Gers out.
As well.
We'll get a Gers out.
Okay, whatever.
We'll get a Gers out.
Anyway, we're talking about it too much now. We're getting too academic. Let's just get onto the fucking.
No, but it's interesting because it's like I think the souring, I suppose, has an element of risk to it or an element of inconsistency to it because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen, and I think that's why you'll see a lot of sour beers are blends as well, because they'll take
lots of different
and they'll cut them. So it makes it sound like it's cocaine, but it's not.
Beer number one.
So the first beer we've got is a Berliner Weiss.
Okay, so this is a traditional Berliner Weiss, right?
Yeah, so I think I've got some notes. Where about Berliner Weiss?
So did you go for two traditionals tonight?
Yeah, basically.
You just wanted to do the proper examples of the set of the style.
Yeah.
Fucking boring.
So here we go. This is straight off Wiki.
Let's go for it.
By the late 19th century, Berliner Weiss was the most popular alcoholic drink in Berlin.
Yep.
With up to 50 breweries producing it. By the late 20th century, there are only two breweries left in Berlin producing it. So one of them will be Berliner Kindle, which is what we've got here. I don't know who the other one is.
And so you've got... Do you have two different ones here?
I've got the red one that we both got a bottle of, which is the one... So Berliner Weiss. Have you ever been to Berlin and drunk Berliner Weiss?
I've never been to Berlin.
You've never been to Berlin? Okay. So traditionally, Berliner Weiss, the beer itself, is...
You're gesticulating. Give me the fucking bottle opener.
It's served... You can have it as it is or with one of two syrups in it.
Ah.
So there's a red syrup, which is a raspberry syrup. And you know you're German. So Mitrot is with red.
Oh, Mitrot, yeah, with red, yeah.
Yeah. Or there's the green version.
Waldmeister.
Which is Mitgrün, which is a woodruff syrup.
Okay.
I had to look up what woodruff is. It's like a herb.
Herb, floral.
So this, typically, Berliner Weiss is fairly low alcoholish.
Yep.
Usually under 5%. This one's 3%.
Oh, fuck me, that is gorgeous.
But it's quite sweet. Do you know
what it is? It's really sweet. I mean, this is the one with the... So this is a Himbeer.
Himbeer. This is the one with raspberry in.
This is the one with raspberry in.
It's very raspberry, though, isn't it?
It's really raspberry. Raspberry.
It tastes raspberry.
It tastes like it's got syrup in it.
Yeah. And it is a syrupy raspberry as opposed to some sort of wild,
fresh
Scottish raspberries.
Yeah. I mean, that is gorgeous, though. That is like on a summer's day, that would be... That would.
And you'd never know that was 3%.
Oh.
But that's still so sweet. That's so sweet.
But it's still got that little hint of tartness in the back there, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
That is a lush. That is a lush beer.
It's very good, isn't it? 3%.
Especially for it's the same as like when you have like a framboise or something. Like it's like especially like the Creek.
Yeah.
And it's like that is deceptive in the strength of it because of the sweetness, you almost expect it to be more alcoholic. Mm.
In fact, you know, normally, I think it's not... I think most sour beers have some sort of fruit in them as well, which is an odd thing. Because the fruit isn't necessarily souring it, but it must be adding to the sour characteristic. So this is part of the same brewery group as Schopfenhofer.
I mean, because this has syrup in it, right? Like, after the fact, it's cut with syrup.
I mean, if you read the ingredients. Yeah, yeah.
If you know you're German.
Yeah. Himbeer Schmack. Is raspberry syrup, I think, or raspberry sugar.
So, does that technically make this a Radler?
No. It is a Berliner Weiss. I think it's always... Berliner Weiss is always in this ABV range.
Yeah. Germans have beer, right? Like, just... It's funny, because, you know, a country that has also produced the Reinheitsgebot... Well, I mean, technically, it's a different country, because it's Berlin. Well, yeah. Well, yes, the country that produced the Reinheitsgebot and fascism. But, you know, the Reinheitsgebot around, like, really sticking to the guns and being traditional with what you do and all the rest of it. But also produced fucking... I mean, again, Bavaria, Germany, there's an argument that they're technically different countries. But, like, they produce, like, Schopfenhofer. And, like, so they produced the concept of Radlers and the concept of syrupy fucking sour beers and Gosses, where they were just like, let's put some salt in it. It's just... It kind of blows my mind. But also, I love how unashamed they are with, like, shit like this, where it's like, this is the OG Alka-Pop.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I suppose the beer, per se, will be a straight down the line beer with a bit of sourness in. And then what they've done is... Because the syrup would be with... You know, when I had it back in the day...
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking before the Berlin Wall came down...
when you were living in East Germany...
They would actually put the syrup in front of you and stir it.
Well, it's like having a... not Pernod. What's the French one?
Which one?
The one where you put the syrup in the beer.
Pecan beer.
It's like the same concept, right? Where it's like
So the beer per se is still a straight beer, and then what you've done is you've added a syrup to it. But so, I mean, if someone put that in front of me and said this is a fruit beer, you go, yeah, okay, I can taste the raspberry. Yeah. If someone said this is meant to be a sour beer, I'd be like, is it? Is it?
So basically, Berliner Kindle are the OG Vault City.
Yeah, well, maybe.
So maybe it's just that Vault City are going full into... They're just going really traditional. Yeah, I do love the little kid hiding in a... That would not pass
Portman Group. No, Portman Group, no. Little kid hiding in a pint pot.
It's lovely in pink as well. but does have a big sign on the back saying, don't drink and drive.
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that is enough. That's a deep rose, rosy colour, isn't it? And with a pale pink head on it.
Please tell me that you're picking something poppy as all shit for this.
Well, I am going electronica, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So what am I going to... I'm going to go... La, 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 la. Okay, you've got that choice or you've got that choice.
Oh, that's great for the people at home. I'm pointing at you. It's good. I don't know either of those songs.
Do you not? No. Okay, let's do...
Oh, wait, did you say that choice?
I said that choice.
Oh, because I was going to say that one can get to fuck.
Oh, which one? That one? You don't like that band?
Yeah, I am not allowing any sparks to be played on this podcast. Oh,
not even number one song in heaven?
No.
Okay, so you've got something very disco-y or something just very frothy and...
Whatever fizzy. You think works. The whole point of this, Andrew, is you pick a song.
Okay, let's do M83.
Okay, I'm good with that.
M83.
Yep.
So the song's called Raconte-moi une histoire.
Okay, cool. I only know one M83 song.
Do you?
Nightcall, is it?
Possibly.
Is that them?
Same album.
Yeah, okay.
So this is, mentions frogs a lot. but it's frothy.
Okay.
It's spiky a bit. No, it's more just upbeat and nice and fruit. Well, I'm going to say fruity, but I mean, there's a lot of frog mentions.
There's a lot of frog mentions. Okay, sure. Let's do it then. So this is...
Raconte-moi une histoire.
I was going to try it.
Go on then, doing your best Jacques Cousteau.
I'm just trying to find it so I can play it.
It's off the same album. It's off the only album anyone's ever got by M83.
Midnight City. This is M83 with Raconte-moi une histoire.
Frog. jungle, so far away from you. But if you find it, and if you touch it, your world can change forever. If you touch its skin, you can feel your body changing, and your vision also. Blue becomes red, and red becomes blue. And your mommy suddenly becomes your daddy. And everything looks like a giant cupcake. And you keep laughing and laughing and laugh. Nothing is ever quite the same, really. And after you finish laughing, it's time to turn into a frog yourself. It's very funny to be a frog. You can dive into the water and cross the rivers and the ocean. And you can jump all the time and everywhere. Do you want to play with me? We can be a whole group of friends, a whole group of frogs, jumping into the streets, jumping into the planet, climbing the buildings, swimming in the lakes and in the bathtubs. We would be hundreds, thousands, millions, the biggest group of friends the world has ever seen, jumping and laughing forever. It would be great, right?
So that was M83 with Raconte-moi une histoire from Hurry Up, We're Dreaming.
You've heard the album, haven't you?
I don't actually, but I do very much enjoy Midnight City. but it was because M83 French.
I don't think they are, even though...
I assumed that they are, because I thought that they were in that whole... Whoa!
It's bright green, this thing, isn't it?
Fuck me!
So what we're doing, we're pouring the other bottle of...
The Waldmeister.
Of Berliner Kindelweiss.
Oh!
This is the Waldmeister. This is the one with the Woodruff syrup in.
That does not smell nice.
It does not smell nice. Is it herby? Is it herbidaceous?
Hmm.
Vaguely minty.
Ooh! Ooh! That's...
But it is a bright, lurid green, isn't it?
It is. It's a weird taste. So yeah, that's a... What is that?
It's not... So, is it woody?
It's almost like marzipan-y.
Oh, yeah, marzipan's a good call. Yeah, good call.
Almost nougat-y? Like, it's a weird... Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call. Marzipan is a good call.
But it is. It's got a vague herbal note to it.
It's bright emerald green.
It is emerald green. Like, I would... This looks like it belongs in the musical Wicked. It looks like it's something that the Wizard of Oz would give you, and it'd be fucking tainted with some like, I don't know, Rohypnol or something. And God.
It's a proper Paddy's Day beer. It's so
Jesus
green.
Christ, yeah. Anyway, we were talking about M83. I thought that they were in that whole, like, what was the Ed Banger Records, Phoenix, Daft Punk, Justice.
In the same group as Ed.
I thought they were in that whole scene, so I assumed that they were French, but maybe they're not.
Well, it's irrelevant, really.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing you did your research, though.
Well, I researched the beer, not the song.
Got to do both, Andrew.
Do you? Okay, right. Well, hang on. You haven't said what you thought.
Oh, I thought it was perfect. I thought it really matched it really well. Yeah. No, I thought it was. I'm trying to read and figure out where M83 is from as well, which is really good. France. They're from France.
Antibes. It's probably one guy, isn't it?
Gonzalez and his brother.
Okay.
Antibes. I thought that the match was really good. I thought, yeah, you're right. Like, frothy was the right word for that song. But that was banging. And the whole diatribe about frogs was just phenomenal.
And your mommy is suddenly your daddy.
I mean, that just sounds like a quote from Big Mouth. But
I think it sounds like straight out of Kindergarten Cop. It's just like... So yeah, that was a good one. So we've had both kinds of
Berliner Kindles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The green and the red.
It's the two genders, right? Waldmeister and Himbeer.
So you prefer the raspberry one?
This is just weird, and I'm not entirely sure that
we can cast it aside. Let's not drink it all. Let's cast it aside. Oh, you've drunk it all.
Yep. Okay.
I'm going to pop mine aside.
Oh, you do that.
I know what's coming.
Okay, yeah. So this is my beer now, which means I need to get my notes.
Beer number two.
Okay, so we're mixing it up a little bit. We're going for the most alcoholic one next.
Because why not? Yeah, well, it's because of the styles. So I wanted to... And I don't think that this particularly... I think it might have a little bit of sediment in the bottom, yeah.
It does.
So I think that this works well in the styles that we're doing in the order.
Okay.
So this is from Keiichi Brewery. It's Hitachi no Nest, which everybody would probably know, but it's their Anbai Ale.
Anbai, A-N-B-A-I.
Anbai does not literally mean salty plum.
Does it not?
No.
I literally took that off of their own website.
Anbai, well, actually, you've got it down there. Anbai means just right.
Lianbai.
Well, Lianbai, but it's still Anbai is the short version of saying just right, apparently. Okay. My Japanese is fucking terrible, so who knows?
Most people, I imagine, have had a Hitachino Nest beer.
And so this is actually based off of their... the base of this beer is their white ale, which is like the standard Hitachino...
I pronounce it Hitachino. You said Hitachino. What did you
Hitachino.
Say?
Hitachino.
Hitachino.
Hitachino, which does sound more Japanese.
It does.
Yeah, so it's based off of the strong version of the white ale.
Oh, is there two versions?
Yeah, apparently. But I don't know whether that's just the domestic. Although, interestingly, I thought that this was... I thought that this was like one that they've been doing for a while. But apparently it's only been going for the last 2 years or so, the Anbai. So this is a 7.5%, and basically this is a Japanese take on a Gosa.
Yeah.
So it's made with Japanese green plums.
But are they salty plums?
No, they add the salt in as well.
Okay.
Are they salty plums? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Look,
Anbai literally means salty plum.
It doesn't though. It's like fucking marketing, mate.
Yeah, but that's what Hitachino said.
Yeah, but Hitachino don't know what they're talking about. Well, that's what the UK arm of Hitachino said.
So it's got a pinch of Japanese sea salt in. Moshio.
Moshio, yes.
Moshio.
Yeah, so it's the locally grown green sour plum, the umi, and finished up with a pinch of Japanese sea salt, Moshio, yeah. They say the balance of sourness, bitterness comes from plum and subtle saltiness. Great umami taste of the sea salt is Lianbai, just right. But it's a fucking weird beer.
That's quite savoury.
It is. That's what I was expecting from Berliner Weiss.
Okay, that is weird.
Wah. And I think that this actually tastes better as it warms up.
Okay.
It's a real kind of sharp stone fruit. It's kind of like unripe plums, right? Like a greengage.
Maybe.
It's but it's weird, and you can get that little bit of salt in there, but it is quite sticky.
I wonder if they've brewed this with the pit in the plum.
Because
that would give it some sort of weird bitterness, sort of.
I know, but I think it is. It's definitely got a bitterness. I was saying, like, I reckon that the sourness, if we're focusing on the sour qualities of this, this is quite a pithy sour. Like, it's a real kind of grapefruity, skin sour kind of.
That's a strange beer.
It is a weird beer. It's yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's definitely, and it's heavier than a ghost. Well, a ghost is supposed to be, well, BJCPR is supposed to be 5.8. I think top under. Is 5.8.
Yeah, this is 7.5, and it's actually got body to it.
It's actually, I do have the BJCP, so let's see if this does match
for
a ghost.
No, yeah, it's going to be way over a ghost.
Yeah, no, but I mean, in terms of the flavour profile.
The description, okay, go for it.
So we have, a ghost is a tart, lightly bittered, historical Central European wheat beer with a distinctive but restrained salt and coriander flavour.
Okay. No coriander.
So it's supposed to be dry.
This is, I'm not sure.
High carbonation, bright flavours, none of this.
No, it's not highly carbonated.
Pome fruit. What is pome fruit?
It's stone fruit, isn't it?
Okay, well, does that mean stone fruity? That's supposed to be a light to moderate.
Or is it apple?
But yeah, obviously this doesn't have coriander in it, though. But like, even flour, it's like noticeable sourness, moderate bready or doughy malt flavour. I mean, it's basically, I think that, and they haven't, technically, they haven't said this is a ghost. They've said that this is a Japanese salted plum sour.
Okay, because they could actually call it a ghost.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, a ghost is supposed to be 4.2 to 4.8. So it's nowhere near that. It's way too fucking heavy for that. But yeah, I thought it was an interesting beer, though. I'd never tried it before.
I've never tried it before. I probably wouldn't try it again.
But it is, I quite like challenging beers like this. You remember back to the fucking smoking barrels? No. I mean, I don't think anything's quite matched that since, in terms of weirdness. Maybe Xerex, but...
But is that partly because that was early on in discovering different flavoured beers, and therefore it's just like, what is this?
Well, if we tried it again, I don't know. Well, maybe with your fucking love of Lichtenhainers, you'd actually like it now.
I know. You've still got the 750 bottle, or have you drunk it?
Is it Lichtenhainer?
No, the Smoking Barrels. Did you drink it?
Oh, yeah, no, I drank that ages ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think I enjoyed it more the second time, so maybe it is that maybe our palates weren't quite refined enough.
When we've drunk this beer, what I've also got on the table is a bottle of umeshu, which is a Japanese liqueur made with the same plums.
Fucking hell. See, listeners, this is what I'm talking about. I can't blink on a podcast to tell you that I'm in trouble, but just say, if I burp twice in quick succession, please send somebody to save me.
2 weeks ago.
because he's just going to get me really drunk. I think he's trying to take advantage of me.
It's the hat. No, look, I thought it'd be a good taste comparison, because this has got, it's clearly got those little...
Okay, well, we've still got a whole bottle, and we're not going to get through this. So should we do my music taste first?
Yeah, let's do your music
taste. And then we can compare it to the issue.
Yeah, so let's not open that. Let's just...
Okay, so what would I have gone for this? I might open this just to have a little bit more.
Oh, you're going to have some more?
Just a little bit. What would I have gone for this?
Chef's chocolate salty balls to go with the green salty plums.
Come on, of course I'm going to pick some fucking weird J-pop.
Have you? Is that where you've gone? Yeah. Some Japanese? Yeah. If I'd have done that, you'd have said, no, not let's do that.
But yeah, I did find a song that was in one of my lists that was just fucking perfect for this. But the problem is I had to do some deep digging to figure out how to say this band name and the name of the song and figure out what it means. Okay. So the name of the band is called Nekri Torki. That's the translation. It's phonetically and it's the translation. Okay. But yeah, because it's just, yeah. Nekri Torki. You can't find it on Spotify, so you're going to have to go to our playlists to get, because it's in Japanese. And then the song title is Kimi wa Inasi na Girl.
Yeah, of course.
Which translates to you're a naughty girl.
Oh, no. Really?
And I should say that this features, because, this really helps with people, Hitomi Nihonmatsu.
I thought he was going to say, this features Justin Bieber in his breakthrough hit.
But let's do it. So this is, Kimi wa Inasi na Girl.
That's easy for you to say.
That was Nekri Torki with Kimi wa Inane something girl. Yeah, look up right, the
people need to find this.
Look up, well, if you do search Nekri Torki, then it will come up on. But then you got to find the song. So Kimi wa Inasi na girl. Look up the Rhythm and Brews playlist. It's on rhythmandbrews.co, and we'll put it on there. But I mean, it's just a fucking batshit crazy song. But it is also just a great pop song, and
it is. It's very Alvin and the Chipmunks.
But also, like, there was some really good music in there.
I do like the piano. I mean, that's a weird thing to hear in a
And that middle, like, the middle breakdown, that was not two songs. That was one song.
Yeah, I thought it ended.
You know, I don't know. I think, like, it's not a particularly deep choice for this. In terms of, like, I just matched it because it's also fucking weird and Japanese. But I mean, I think it does kind of match the weirdness.
It does. No, it does. I think it was a good choice. I'm glad that song is in my life.
It's, yeah. I mean, I haven't looked up the translation of it yet, so it may be super problematic. I'm not sure.
I do want there to be a fantastic video for that, but I don't think there is there?
No, there isn't. And I can't remember how I found that. And I'd like to think that that's in an anime somewhere, because it feels like it should be.
I think you should cover this as Protagators. You should write English lyrics to it. And yeah,
I'd adore that. I mean, you know, my love of bad J-pop.
Is that J-pop? That wasn't very... It was upbeat and...
Yeah.
Was it
a pop song? It's what... Well, because I feel like that there's... Because, like, I'm not really into the, like... I was going to say Blackpink and BTS, but they're both K-pop. But, like, the more traditional, very bubblegum poppy J-pop. I like the weird, rocky, off-kilter shit. Like Radwimps. That has a bit math in it.
Well, that was very good. We're going to have a bit of a mesh, you know.
Hey, we're going to have to try something. You should be doing.
Yeah.
So talk me through what this is and why you have it.
So this is a meshu. It's a Japanese liqueur made from same plums.
Yep.
On a trip to Japan, I drank a lot of this. What can I say? It's either sake or a meshu or whiskey.
You didn't just go to Tokyo, did you? You went.
No, we went around a bit. Yeah. So, but this is a good drink. And again, you know, it's not just like there's a meshu. There's lots.
Is that the traditional way to pour it as well?
Yeah, yeah. Very carefully into a small glass. But smell that marzipan.
Oh, fuck me! That is.
You were talking about marzipan.
I think that's closer to the green thing that you gave me before, the weird Rehypnol Wizard of Oz shit.
You'd never know that's 14%. That's so sweet, though, isn't it?
I would actually really enjoy an entire night on that. That in a beer would actually be really good.
There you go. Could have dropped it. You could have done a...
So it's weird because it's like that has the same flavour. I can get the same flavour profile.
From that beer?
From that beer. But it's... The beer is a lot harsher, and it's almost like, yeah, like it's got the bitterness from like the pit, like from the pit or something.
Yeah. So that's
pip.
But obviously the beer's got salt in it, whereas this has just got tons of sugar in it. I mean, it'd be interesting balance if you did mix the two together.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's not a dissimilar colour to the beer.
I think it's see, you did a nice beer. I did an interesting beer. Are we going to go back to doing nice things now?
Oh, no. Next up is...
going to fuck us up.
Next up is probably the beer that would turn most people off beer.
Bring in the Duchess. Because I think my first try of a sour beer... You know, my first try of a sour beer was probably when I was 18 or so, and it was probably some kind of Belgian, but I didn't realise it was sour. But the first try of a sour beer that I remember probably would have been something like a Salty Kiss or a Calypso or one of the wild beers. I don't know, like one of that era. And I feel like it was a simpler time for sour beers then.
Yeah, because it's basically, let's put a bit of... I
remember Salty Kiss was like a fucking...
Yeah, revelation.
Yeah. Actually, I do know what my first sour beer was.
What?
It was an Iron Brew Sour. It's my mythical Iron Brew Sour from Al Masti.
But is that the first time you probably had a beer that called itself a sour?
Yeah.
As in...
Yeah. As I said, I probably had some kind of Belgian or something. But even then, I think most of the Belgians that I had in Sydney were probably more... Duvels and like things like that. It was more that traditional kind of like doubles and triples and stuff. But so like, I'm guessing you must have knowingly had a sour a lot earlier than that.
I don't know. I mean, I'd obviously been to Belgium and I probably did have sour beers and just didn't think anything of it other than it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember having a Flanders Red Ale knowingly for the first time and thinking...
Was that six months ago?
No. Going, what
the fuck
what
is this?
What is this?
I mean, because can you imagine that if your entryway into sour beers is a Flanders Red or an Oud Bruin, yeah, compared to if it was a fucking Framboise Creek.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a very different experience.
Massively. So, yeah, so the next beer up, when I go and get it out of the fridge, is Duchess de Burgoyne.
The Duchess of Burgoyne. Sounds good.
Let's go get a Duchess.
So you did go and get beer number three,
but I also brought another beer.
You also brought another beer because fuck it, why not? And this one, I mean, this is a very sort of widely loved style.
Massively lovely one. It's my favourite cocktail.
Yeah, it's a dill pickle ghost. So it's a pickleback ghost.
You've had a pickleback cocktail though, haven't you?
I have, and they're terrible.
Do you think?
But then again, you like fucking Bloody Marys as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Anything like that. Anything a bit savoury in a cocktail.
To be fair. Oh. Fuck me, that is indigestion in a glass.
I don't think it's that... You could get the saltiness.
Oh, I get the pickle. I get the vinegar and the pickle.
The dill.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of dill pickles, and I'm a big fan of vinegar. So, like, this is actually not that... But it does taste a little bit like downing some fucking white vinegar.
It is a little bit like that.
With a little bit of salt in it.
So it's interesting. I mean, I can't see it becoming a core beer for Brass Castle.
I just love the fact that they even... But they have been doing this for quite a while, haven't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Picklebacks been around for a while. Like, but I wonder whether this is their, like, Xerex. Like, this is their Attitude Rex of, like...
Yeah, but they could amp this up. They could do an amplified version of this with more dill, more pickle.
In saying that, I don't think I've seen a Bloody Mary beer yet. Like a tomato and Tabasco Worcestershire sauce.
There's definitely got to be one out there.
I haven't seen many tomato beers in general.
I had a tomato saison.
Oh, yes. I've had a tomato saison as well. That tasted nothing like tomatoes. It tasted like it once brushed against a tomato.
So that's an interesting dill pickle goes from Brass Castle.
I don't know if I could have a pint of that.
No one's having a pint of that.
I don't know if I could have a fucking third of that. It is quite low as well. It's only 4.6.
It's quite challenging.
But they put it in a 440 ml can.
And it's like, yeah.
I mean, that is another good candidate for the 150 ml can. I think we need more shot glass cans.
Definitely. Oh, that's... I'm glad I don't have two cans. I mean, it's interesting, and I'm glad to have tried it.
I commend them. They've done it really well.
If anything, I would want more dill in that.
You'd want more dill?
More dill.
Because what is a pickleback?
It's a cocktail, isn't it?
No, yeah, I know that, but, like, what's in a pickleback? It's whiskey.
A whiskey
is chased by a shot of pickle brine.
Oh.
That's a pickleback. So you're basically shooting... Whiskey followed by vinegar.
Pickle juice, yeah, okay.
Because pickle juice is just vinegar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You say pickle juice to make it sound better. It is vinegar. It's white vinegar with remnants of fucking cucumbers in it. Yeah, I mean, that tastes like vinegar and vinegar and vinegared cucumber. Cucumber.
Well, there you go. Let's not finish that then. Let's mark that up to experience.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Let's...
Bring on the Duchess.
Okay.
Do you want to do a bottle of this each?
Let's open one. So, Duchess de Bourgoyne is a Flanders Red Ale.
So, this is a Flanders Red.
So, and you can see, I think, you know, if you hold it up to the light, you get this ruby. It's a ruby red.
Rubiness
in it. And, you know, its sister beer is a Oud Bruin.
Yeah.
And the other brewery that people have probably seen that do this is Rodenbach.
Yeah.
Rodenbach Premier Cru? Grand Cru.
Grand Cru. Oh, that is fucking lush.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Do you not... When you smell that, though, do you not get proper acetic... I mean, you talked about the last beer.
Vinegar.
Vinegary. This is quite vinegary.
It is, 100%.
But it's also...
But it's like aged vinegar.
Yeah.
It's barrel vinegar. It's vinegar brewed by monks.
It's good vinegar. But, I mean... it's much more rounded. It's much more layered, I think.
It is. It's a very, it's quite, it's complex and it's not complex because it's got the, it's interesting actually because this and then the next beer, I think it's, yeah.
I mean, they described it. So it's from, how do you pronounce this? Brouwerij Verheger. Brouwerij Verheger?
Is that Dutch?
It's Dutch.
Yeah, so it'd probably be...
We're supposed to be getting interplay of passion fruit, chocolate, and a long, dry, acidic finish. So basically it's a blend, but it's a blend of old and new, and you mix it up. It's been barrel-aged in fooders, or foders.
In fooders.
Fooders. Big oak barrels.
Food.
Which is where it's getting its sourness from the barrel. It's all the microflora...
Mm.
In the barrel coming out.
The Saccharomyces.
Well, and then that's Saccharomyces, Lactobacillus, and probably a little bit of Brett going on. Souring it all up.
Ooh. How old is...
What, this?
Duchesse.
Well...
De Bourgogne.
Interesting, because I was reading a book today, which was by...
2011?
About 1870, this is.
Wow.
But it is based on Old English Porter, which was soured...
Oh, they fucked that up, didn't they?
So this is amped up English porter, basically.
It's basically... But so Old English Porter was a soured beer, was it?
Well, by default, because it was aged in big barrels.
So
that was a quintessential characteristic of a traditional porter.
Have you ever had a traditional porter?
No, but we've got a soured porter coming up later, haven't we? So
we do, which I wonder if that is what that, you know, should have tasted like.
I don't think it will. I think that's going to be nothing like a traditional porter.
It's not, but we'll get to that.
Come on, this is Duchess de Bourgogne.
This is, I genuinely really like this beer. I think it's like, yeah, I think this is to me a Christmas Day beer. This is like a... Yeah. This is a sit down and, I don't know, for me, there's something about this that has the characteristics that I really enjoy.
Do you get chocolate in this at all? At all?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Right, okay, let's do my tasting, my wanker.
I sort of get
my wanker mask on.
Dark fruit. I get dark fruit on it.
So definitely vinegar on the nose. Right, close sniff.
Close sniff.
Yeah, still vinegar. There is definitely, like, there's a...
cherry. Do you get cherries at all? Sour cherries?
Sour cherries, maybe. Yeah, I can see that. I think that chocolate note is really interesting, because I think that it is. There's a real, almost like caramelly, toffee, chocolatey bottom note that just... It's the warmness.
I put toffee hints.
Look at that.
Look at that.
bit of malty.
It's quite winey.
It's quite vinous.
Vinous. It's quite winey.
Yeah.
It's been in those barrels and it's taken on a wine-like quality.
Yeah, I can get that. There's a marginally tannic quality there. But it is. It's the same way that I would call like the kind of red wine that I like, chocolatey.
Yeah, okay.
It's got the same kind of character.
It is actually quite fruity, even though it's not got any fruit in it.
Yeah. It feels boozy as well.
Yeah, it's only, what is it, 6.2?
Not even, yeah.
6.2?
6.2.
So you definitely wouldn't have a pint of this. This is probably the
This is
probably the sourest beer we've had so far tonight, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the Anbai was close, but it was more bitter sour.
Okay.
This is more of a sweet sour. This is, yeah, you're right. It's sour cherries. It's like, it's boozy sour cherries.
Yeah.
So have you gone for some, like, old fucking monastic hymns or...
No. So,
Game of Thrones soundtrack?
The Stranglers have a song called Duchess.
Fuck off. You know what, actually, what's the big Stranglers hit?
Golden Brown.
Golden Brown. I reckon Golden Brown would probably go well with this,
actually. I reckon that probably would. Although, okay, with all of this, because these are sound
beers. Needs a harpsichord.
I've tried to... harpsichord would exactly go with this. I've tried to go with something spiky. And to my mind, that's electronic all the time. Or something a bit off-kilter.
Interesting, okay.
Or a bit, a bit... Not quite chiming right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I've done with both of these beers. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's go with... Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
LCD sound system.
Not surprised.
Someone Great.
Okay, let's do it. LCD sound system with Someone Great. We'll be right back. So that was LCD Sound System with, what was it?
Someone Great.
Someone Great. But now we've just got onto another topic.
No, we were chatting off air. We were chatting off air.
But I just all I can say is we need to do a whole podcast all about Adriano Calentano. Prison Colin Cillin Cusol.
I don't even know how to say you pronounce it.
Because the story behind it is just phenomenal.
Phenomenal. We'll do it another time.
We'll do it another time. Somebody ask us on Twitter and we'll tell you the story.
LCD Sound System, Someone Great. Did that go with La Duchess?
I think I've got mold on the top of my Duchess. You have.
In the whole time you've not been drinking it, you've got a culture that's formed on the top of your
I don't know if that was a good match. I love the song.
See, I love the... Because there's a lot going off that's...
I can see what you were doing, but I do think Golden Brown by the Stranglers would have been better. I think it almost needs a more traditional sound, a traditional weirdness as opposed to an electronic weirdness.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it does taste like an old beer.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic beer.
Need some organic instruments. It tastes organic. That's what it is.
Organic, but you know, you were saying harpsichord and Golden Brown. Harpsichord might go with it.
Harpsichord definitely goes with it. Golden Brown could probably go with anything.
Anything brown.
Yeah.
Anything golden.
Anything golden or brown.
Or brown.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say it's a half point because it's still a good song.
I mean, it is an awesome song, and I will 100% give you that.
And it's a good beer. Yeah. And if the two don't go together, well, then that's your loss. So we've done. That's been
all you're just shit at your job, Andrew.
It's not my job. Believe it or not, I earn zero money from doing this.
Oh.
So we've had. So I think we should have one more interim beer.
Wow.
Before we get on to beer number four,
can it be mine?
Your pastry sour.
Yeah, can it we do the can. Rhubarb custard full. Rhubarb. It's a full. Whatever it
full,
is.
Yeah, full.
It's a frool.
A fool.
A frool.
And who's it by?
Yonder, I think.
So we got
two Yonders,
I think.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a Yonder, which is also who did our last beer, our interim beer is from them as well. So this was, I was trying to find the most pastry sour thing that I could find. Like, so something that was imperial.
Okay, I'm smelling that and it smells of rhubarb.
Oh, it does. And the vanilla. Mm-hmm. You can get vanilla in there. So it's a 9.5% though.
Okay, so that is just like a rhubarb and custard sweet. And it is quite sour.
It's also so sweet. It's not even overly sweet. It's just the vanilla. There's so much vanilla in there. I'm pretty sure that I could breathe at the moment and it would catch on fire.
That does exactly what you expect it to do, or hope it would do.
It is, I mean, that is, and it is, that is, to me, that's the epitome of a pastry sour, which I can understand why people think that it is an abomination to beer, but at the same time, it's fucking gorgeous.
There must be lactose in it.
No lactose in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so water, barley malt, and then you've got two adjuncts.
We got rhubarb.
Yep.
You already mentioned vanilla.
Yep. And yeast.
Yeast.
That's it.
No hops. There must be hops on there.
Well, it's not in the ingredients at least, but.
Oh, well, maybe they don't even have any hops.
Maybe it's not hops. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't have hops in it, because there's not, like...
It's not bitter at all, is it? There's no hop character.
And there's...
It is basically like a sweet.
Pretty much what you do, like, when you talk about a flavour profile there, you are just getting fucking rhubarb, vanilla, and alcohol. Like, it is funny, though, because it's like, how did Alcopops never go down this route? Like, how did we never get Imperial WKD?
Okay, so they do talk about this being a pastry sour.
Yeah.
And every time I see pastry mentioned, that's shorthand for saying...
Lactose.
And there's no lactose in this.
There's no lactose. There's just clearly a fuckload of vanilla.
In fact, you know, because it's vegan badged.
Yeah.
So they're taking pastry as meaning super sweet.
Well, I mean, vanilla, you could replace the, you know, not all pastries need to have milk in them, do they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would assume they would. And they're doing the opposite. They're saying we could do a pastry sour with no lactose.
And I think they've achieved it.
Well done. Well done, Yonder.
Good job, Yonder.
And normally, I'm sure Yonder for a while, or originally, were all about the wild ingredients.
Yeah.
There's nothing wild ingredients about that.
It's nothing wild. That is like the most manufactured beer, I think. Oh, I don't know.
Well, unless they actually
Madagascan foraged vanilla or some shit. Yeah. I mean, so it does say, so Rhubarb Fool is an imperial pastry sour packed with the seasonal delights of British rhubarb, plus a touch of vanilla, for a sweet and creamy finish. Much like classic dessert that it's named after, but with a kick of booze, treat yourself. And it's like, I mean, yeah.
A touch of vanilla, a punch in the face of vanilla.
Amen.
But it's nice, but 9.5%, you couldn't have too many
I'd have 3 pints of this. It's fine.
This is certainly one for the kids. So that's a good, that's an interesting beer, and probably where I thought you were going to go for most of your choices and sours.
But I've got interesting instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about with sours?
What styles have we not tried tonight? We didn't do a Lichtenhainer.
We didn't do, I mean, to be honest, I don't think we did a traditional Berliner Weiss.
Well, no.
But, you know.
We haven't done an American wild ale. So we've not done anything American or even New World wild.
Hold the phone,
because...
I do think that the next one probably... It reminds me a lot... We'll talk about it in a bit, but it reminds me a lot of wild, like American and Australian wild ales that I've had.
Who are you talking? Wildflower.
So it reminds me a lot of Wildflower. It reminds me a lot of the, like, Alesmith wild ales I've had as well.
Okay, right.
But, yeah, I mean, we're just killing time now because I'm still having my pastry stout. Should we move on to beer number four?
Beer number four is the last beer of the night. Well, it's not actually the last beer of the night, but it's the last beer we're going to be pairing.
Jesus Christ. Let's do it. Let's keep drinking.
And this one is called Elixir.
So this is another Yonder beer. This one's called Elixir, which is a... Well, so you've mentioned this a couple times during the recording of this podcast, that you don't think that this is what it says on the bottle. And to be fair to you, they do have, or to be fair to Yonder, one of the two, they say under Elixir, they've got barrel-aged birch sour porter. But
yep.
Underneath that, in very unreadable writing, they have 100% birch water mixed firm dark ale.
Yeah, okay.
So, which I think is a lot closer to what this is.
Yeah, so in the description of this beer, it talks about it being steeped. So they steep this, cold steeped overnight. Dark malts were cold steeped overnight. So all they've done is do that to get the dark colour out of them. None of the roastiness.
Yeah, because there's no... I was expecting... So we did Prohibition from Russian River. On the M. Souther episode, yeah. which was what I would definitely class as a sour porter. Yeah. And it's similar to, I was looking, so when I was picking the beer, I really wanted to pick a sour stout or a sour porter because it was the one style this year that I tried that I was like, I've never had anything like this before. And so I was like, I want to try to find something like that in the UK. It is impossible to find in the UK. I think it is very much an American style. Sour stout and sour porter. I think that it's not really taken off here yet.
Well, no, because I think we've gone full circle in Great Britain, UK. Our stouts and porters probably did have 100-150 years ago that sourness going on.
Yeah, because of their barrel aging.
Was not taken forward. And so if you got that style in a stout reporter, you'd think that was off.
Yeah.
Quite rightly.
So this is a super fucking interesting beer. In the way that it's made.
Can I read out the description? Oh, you're going to read out the
description. Well, yeah, I've got it here. So basically, this is a... I'm not going to read out the full description, but I do have... Because it's basically, it's all of it. So it's a collab. So it's a collab with Brad Carter, who's a chef, and Bello Wild Food, who are specialists in foraging, basically. Like, they're foraged wild foods. Apparently, they've collabed with Bello... Bello and Brad Carter in the past before as well to do some weird things. And this has been sitting like in the back burner for a while because they've wanted for a while to do a beer that was not brewed with traditional water.
Yep.
And so this is brewed with birch water.
Birch sap.
So yeah. So basically what they did, I saw the blog post of this where they explained the whole process. they tapped 40 trees for 5 days to get enough water to brew this. But basically, they did. They just stuck a fucking tap into the tree, connected it up to a big, like, vessel.
Right.
And they did this over 5 days to get enough water to brew this. But it is... It's so the birch water is what then turns into sap that will come out of the tree later. Okay. So it is a liquid. It is a water. Okay. But it is incredibly mineral rich and like vitamin rich.
Okay.
It's got a real characteristic to it. And I mean, yeah. So that's the first step.
That's the first step. I know. That's the first step. That for most people, that would be enough.
Fucking... Sure, I mean, that makes it weird in itself. But then they decided to stick some fucking chugga in it, which is
a... which I'd never heard of before.
A medicinal fungi that is apparently stupidly expensive, but grows on the side of birch trees.
Handy when you're tapping birch trees.
And so they went and foraged a bunch of this shit, which then they turned into a powder and they included in the powder. So you apparently a chugga tea is like a thing that is... And it's got like medicinal qualities and it's...
So it's a big black fungus that grows.
So it's a big fucking big potent mushrooms. But then they still didn't think that was enough. So they stuck some fucking birch bark in there as well. Because why not?
It's growing on me now.
Right. Then again, still not enough. So they used that to brew what was supposed to be like a dark ale, basically. And then they aged that on burgundy barrels.
Okay.
But like aged burgundy barrels. So you've got so much fucking shit going on in here. And to be fair, it kind of comes off.
So I would have quite liked it if what they did is birch sap and the fungus and just did that, stop there. There was no need to try and pretend this is a porter by putting a dark malt into it, because all they've done is got the colour out of that, none of the flavour. And you possibly didn't need to do it in a wine barrel.
I mean, I reckon the wine barrel is probably what's given it a lot of its character.
Yeah.
But this is the epitome of a Vinous beer. Like, this has so many, like, it's sour and tannic qualities of red wine.
It's quite tannic. It's almost tea-like.
Yeah. It's, like, it's complex. It's, like, really quite deep. And it's really earthy.
So have you chosen steps?
No. S-Club, bring it S-Club, all back.
Yeah.
I think that would go good. But it is. I've got here, it's like a light soured red.
Oh, yeah.
But there is also, there's like the tiniest bit of funkiness to it as well.
I can't help thinking they've gone to all that effort to get this birch sap and fungus and stuff. And then they've just absolutely dominated the beer by sticking it in a wine barrel.
But I think that a lot of those characters are still... Okay, so here's what you should be tasting in the different things. So
according to who?
According to them. Okay, so actually the birch water, it's got natural sugars, vitamins and minerals. There's actually not much...
Flavor
in there. I think they were saying that it should give it a little bit of, like, it's a deeper sort of minerally flavor, which doesn't really come through. But the chaga is, I think, what gives a lot of the flavor. It's woody, earthy, slight bitterness, vanillin. So it's got a little bit of vanilla in there. And a really tiny bit of bitterness as well.
Okay, so it's 'cause vanillin is normally what comes out of... That's something you get from the wood. If you age something on wood, you get vanillin comes out of the wood, which is very closely flavoured, like
the vanilla. But it is, so it's 100% birch water, cold seat porter with chaga.
Chaga.
It's just fucking, it's weird. But basically, it is this was a pleasantly weird beer. I think it grew on me over the course of drinking it. This feels like a heavy beer. Because it's so complex.
5.8.
It's really not. It's...
Again, I'm glad to have tried this.
Yeah.
Do I never need to go back to this? Probably.
So this is the one that I struggled with. I sat down to... Because, you know, these days, I do my pairing. And To be honest, I'm done in about 10 minutes. I've probably had three sips of each beer and just gone, yep, fucking easy. I sat with this for half an hour trying to find the right song.
Half an hour? I spent days and weeks on songs.
Yeah, but you're just not as good at this as I am.
So you didn't go for Chagga. So there's a Pixie song called Chagga-laga.
Should have gone for Chagga Khan.
Yeah. Or Chaggy.
It wasn't Mead by Chaggy. I was way too proud of that.
And here it is.
I wanted something relatively dark and complex. I was tempted to go into some like classical or something and maybe some jazz. But in the end, I went down like a deep folk hole.
A deep folk hole,
but like indie folk. So like, I was going through like Bon Iver and
Mumford and Sons.
No, they're not complex enough. I needed something cerebral. I needed something that indie kids would jizz over. So I ended up on Sufjan.
Okay.
And I was going to go, there was a song that I thought was actually really good that probably would have worked well with this, was John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Okay.
But I think it might have been just a tad too dark in subject matter.
About a mass murderer.
a serial killer who dressed up as a clown. But no, I went for something off of Carrie Ann Lowell. Which, have you listened to Carrie Ann Lowell?
Yeah, that's about his mum.
Yeah, so it's basically all about death.
Okay.
And I chose probably the saddest song off the album.
Okay.
It's called 4th of July. So let's go.
Most of your life, while it is rife, while it
So that was Sufjan Stevens with We're All Gonna Die.
It's not called We're All Gonna Die.
It's going to call 4th of July.
4th of July rhymes with die.
Yeah. Complex. Melancholy.
No. It was definitely melancholy.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was the right choice.
I don't think it was.
Thanks.
I like Sufjan Stevens, but his vocal style and character, it's way light and ethereal.
Trying to find something darker and I just couldn't. Like, I couldn't find anything that fit right. You know what I actually wanted to play with this?
Go on.
And you're going to love this.
Go on.
King of Rome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did quite... Part of half an hour that I spent was on Reddit trying to find if anybody had a song that was as good as King of Rome. Because you need, do you know what this beer needs? It needs a song about pigeons. Fucking pigeons.
Come on, look, this.
How dare you use that already?
This beer's got an actual fungus in it. Actual black fungus that's scraped off the bark of a tree.
It's, maybe I should have done some like really like explosions in the sky or some really weird atmospheric ambient metal or something.
Because we absolutely could have made out that the fungus was hallucinogenic.
Ah, yes, that would have been great. Well, I mean, in that case, you just want to do Yoshimi Battles the...
Or...
Pink Robots, whatever it was.
Raconte Moi. It's about frogs.
It's not about frogs. But you've got beef with Sufjan, don't you?
Why? What? Beef?
Yeah, you got beef with him because he started a project and never finished it.
Well, he said it was a project. I'm sure I saw him do
it. Hey, it could still be a project.
He was like, I've done an album called Michigan and I've done an album called Illinois and I've got 49 more states to go. And he never did it.
No, he released another album of offcuts from Illinois.
Yeah, okay. Good Christmas songs, though, if anyone's looking for Christmas options.
I think you might be right. I don't think that was maybe the best choice of that song. But you saw where I was getting.
Absolutely.
Trying to go for something that was a bit. I think maybe if this was a more alcoholic beer, if this was an imperial version of that, it might have worked better.
Maybe. I think his vocal style is just sort of it's sort of this gentle floatiness.
But the underneath of it is really like quite bassy and like.
Okay.
Whilst it's just piano, it's still got like it's got a real earthy tone to it.
Very good. You are justifying it quite well.
But at the same time, it didn't really work experientially, so it's fine.
So our beers, what have we learned?
What have we?
What's the lesson? If this was a sitcom and we were like giving a hey, Luke.
They'll get you drunk.
Actually, I'm not feeling as quite refluxy as I thought I might do.
Yeah, I did. I thought we might need a bit of Gaviscon tonight.
I think we've done all right.
Yeah, I think we're fine. But although you've still got 10 beers to bring out, so
no, we're going to do that one next. We've got a last beer of the night.
Okay,
which is I'm going to say this in Dutch.
I do not need to finish this beer.
No, it's Drie Fontenen.
No, I can just drink in this.
Drie Fontenen.
Yep, Drie Fontenen.
It's got a cork in it, so let's be careful when we're pouring this.
Pop! I want to see if I can get the pop on mic.
He's twisting the cork. There we go.
Oh, love a good pop. I do think that I like a Gerza, but I also think that it's one of those styles that's maybe just a bit overrated because somebody once told me it's a champagne of beer.
So this, but this, if you're going to get a Gerz, this is what you want to get.
Really? You wouldn't go for an Oud Gerz?
Yeah. That's
like the other well, people
I
who make
a,
this?
I had a Mariage Parfait, a Boone Mariage Parfait in the fridge. But this, if anyone's had a Dry Fontanin, this is an Armand and Gaston Cuvée.
Andrew's at the point of the night where he's attempting to speak Dutch.
Well, do that whole fucking thing.
Who knows, we might get Andrew dying on mic as well. This is the danger of podcasting with old men.
Literally. Imagine, though, what you could... That, if that was the last ever podcast.
Fuck me. That would be pretty good. I would definitely put it out still, you know?
Definitely.
I'd definitely put it out and I'd find a new co-host by the next one, just so we can keep it going in your memory, because it's what you would have wanted, Andrew.
Yeah.
It's what you would have wanted.
I think what I would have wanted is not to have died. That's probably what I would have wanted.
I mean, would you have wanted to die if the last beer you ever had was a Yonder Elixir?
No, but an Armand Gaston Dry Fontanin Gers. Well, you know.
Just, you just said so many words. So we do... what do you have coming up, Andrew?
God, that's funky. What do we have coming up? We've got Christmas coming up and we still quite don't know what we're doing for Christmas.
So we're definitely going to do the whole... Suggest me a song that I need to find a beer to.
You're really going to do this again?
I am. You need to suggest a Christmas song, one that has not been suggested or played on this podcast before, which is now becoming a bit of a challenge.
So no Girl in Red?
No Girl in Red, unless Mark Johnson suggests it, and then I'll just... pretend like it's never been mentioned ever before.
Ever before.
Damn. But I do think that if you can suggest a Christmas song, then I will do my... We'll probably put it to a poll to whittle it down. Then I'll do my darndest to find a beer to match to that. And ideally a Christmas beer to match to that. But if anybody has any suggestions for guests that we should get on, whether they be previous guests or new guests, we're very open to it.
Well, 2023 is coming up.
2023 is coming up, which means that the end of season three is, I think we're one episode off of end of season three, because we'll do a triannual episode and then we'll just call it quits until I discover I'm allergic to alcohol and can't do it anymore.
No, that's worrying that you think you might be. So I'm thinking, another thing you can plug is your Christmas gig.
Oh, I probably should. So yeah, I mean, if you've got this far in, then you must be a devout listener. So hi, Paul, how you doing?
And Rob. I'm going to say hi to Rob.
Rob as well. But, and maybe Sean. Yep, Sean doesn't make it this way. Not often.
You've got a Christmas gig. Is it the 21st of December?
It is the 21st of December.
Is it the Signature Tap Room?
It is Haggerston? A Signature Brew Haggerston. We've got Brutalligators headlining with All Better, Brighter, and Buds, which, if you remember back to the 2020 Christmas episode.
No one does.
Then we played the song Drunk Christmas, so we'll have all of the vocalists for that song.
People need to know, will you be dressed as Father Christmas?
I'll be dressed as something.
Something festive.
Something festive,
of course.
Could
be a reindeer?
Could be an elf. I've got some really nice dangly earrings that would go well with an elf costume.
I think a snowman.
I wouldn't mind dressing as Mrs. Claus, but people think it's appropriating somebody else's gender. But yeah, if anybody wants to come down, you can look it up on the internet.
Otherwise, next time you hear us, it will basically be Christmas. Everyone will be had enough of mince pies. Everyone will be... Actually, there'll be rolling blackouts across the UK.
We'll have our 30th Prime Minister of the Year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's sours done.
Sours done.
We don't need to do any sours ever again.
We've done all the sours.
Yeah, we've explained why sours are great the entire way through.
It's basically in the air, in the bugs, in the barrel.
I think you got the title of the episode. In the air, in the bugs, in the barrel.
There you go.
And we'll see you for a ho 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 spectacular.
Oh, come on, man.
Jolly Christmas. Anyway, we'll be back 20th of December, with or without guests, and with your songs once we whittle them down and I match them to be honest, Fairy Tale of Brew York, probably. Cool. Until then.
Awesome. This has been sour.
This has been bracing. This has been puckering.
It's not been as puckering as I thought it was going to be.
Hasn't. This has been funky.
Funky, good one. This has been a little bit tart.
Bye.
I can hear the call, I can dance and shout, I can hear